You're too big for error. You're too wise for mistakes. You are a mighty God, perfect in all your ways. You were here before my first breath, and you'll be here when nothing else is left. You are a mighty God, forever and always. Say you're too big. Hey. Forever, you're too wise, for mistakes, yes, you are mighty, perfect in all your ways, hey, you were here, before my first friend, hey, and you'll be here, y'all, when nothing else is.
Thank you for being God, and thank God today is Friday. Yay! Okay, you know, but just in case you're new, Friday for us here leads into the weekend. Friday for us is that time where you could always do a whole lot of recap and binge on the word. Hallelujah. All right, so that's our exercise. Friday, okay, so we have a bit of break before Monday, and you could do a bit of catch up, right? Okay, so listen to one episode or the other. I would assume you get to take notes and like, oh, this blessed me. Oh, that blessed me. Oh, this blessed me. So you're welcome to your daily faith boost. And Travis Green has been a blessing to us all through the week. Thank you for being God. Beautiful song there. I believe you like it. I believe you've had to, you know, shake your head a little bit to it if you get to tune in just when the song is still playing. But if not, if you replay, you will catch it. But you might have the song on your own, right? So enjoy it over the weekend. So once again, it is awesome that we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, and today we've come to the very, very like end of having to look through. Now, still so much to dig into, but I think we've come to the end of it for now. All right, so just listen. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks digging into the 23rd Psalm. So much light, so much illumination and revelation, and we have been blessed. So Psalm 23, again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely your goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Hey guys, awesome. So we've had to, you know, conclude, all right, because it's clear in scripture that the 23rd Psalm is a beautiful journey, quite descriptive. I mean, the Lord being your shepherd, and irrespective of how the journey goes, he elevates you, he protects you, he preserves you, he anoints you, he, you know, blesses you, and then you're with him for the rest of it. Like, just so beautiful. This is one psalm you should give attention to ever so often, all right? You really should give attention to ever so often. How was yesterday? I mean, our focus for the week has been restore. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. But then we switched, okay? He's not just in the business of restoring the soul, and he is, all right? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is anointing me to heal the brokenhearted. But I'm saying there's a bigger point, and I think you've been so blessed that I would end up on that today, because there is a total restoration that God brought in, and it's been a blessing. All right. So in Genesis chapter 2, we'll quickly get there so as to cover as much as we can today. So Genesis chapter 2, the 15th verse of Genesis 2. Okay, well, pick 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the bread of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man that he formed. All right, so we skip quickly to the 15th verse. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat it, all right, you shall surely die. So this is God expressly telling Adam, once you do what you shouldn't do, you would open the door, all right, to something, and it is called death, right? Once you do that, that's what's going to happen. And then you know what happened in Genesis 3, Eve ate, Adam ate, and hey, things go wrong. All right, so in Genesis 17, then Adam, all right, to Adam, God said, because you have heeded, King James, the voice of a wife and eating from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat, cursed is the ground for your sake, all right? So like I said yesterday, I do not agree that God was cursing the ground. God is saying, see, this is what you've caused. Cursed is the ground for your sake, all right? In toil you will eat of it all days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and shall eat herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till the ground, all right, you return to the ground, for from there you are taken, thus you are, you know, thus you will return. So you're like, hey, but God cursed the ground. So, all right. Romans chapter 5 and the 12th verse. I made reference to you yesterday, so let's make reference to it again today. Romans 5, 12. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Please notice this. He didn't say just as through God's anger, sin entered the world. Interestingly, he didn't even say just as through the devil, sin entered the world. Please understand this. The devil was knocking at the door. If the door was not open, nothing comes in. Please remember. All right. So Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give place to the devil. So there's a giving of place. So you realize, hey, there was Satan at the door. He's been trying to get in. So he finally gets in through Eve, but finally, officially, really, through Adam. All right. Adam was given the instruction. And Paul, right, Timothy said the woman, all right, was deceived. The man wasn't. So Adam understood what was going on from the way it seems. So he's at the door. So just Romans 5:12 again. Just as through one man, sin entered the world and death entered through sin. Let's make it clear. So death entered through sin. So God said, if you do this, you will die. You will bring death. You will introduce death. But the sad part is this. All right. So reading the verse, it continues by saying, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. All right. So those unborn, death entered into the system of the world. So that begins to explain why the same earth that was beautiful and everything starts, you know, God said in Genesis chapter 3, thorns and thistles, this earth will produce for you. So that wasn't the plan from the beginning. That wasn't what it was from the beginning. Do you understand? So God hit a reset button. All right, back to Genesis 12. I got to show you something there. I made reference to it again yesterday, but someone just needs to see. All right. So God was speaking to the woman. All right. And to the woman, that's verse 13. God said, all right, what is this you've done? And she said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have, because you have done this, you're cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will grow and thus shall you eat, all right, all days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So this, all right, is the reset button, all right, the declaration, as it were, that Jesus is coming. This is it here, right? He shall bruise your head, you bruise his heel. Now to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you. That's lording, mastering, right? God's ideal plan is love, all right? So the woman is submitted to love, not to
Adolf Hitler. All right. So here he's saying he will rule. He would. So Pussy, oh, that means man. No, there's still headship. All right. But not rulership, not dominion. Like, hey, you're subservient. All right. You don't have a voice. You don't have a say. Women have a voice. Women have a say. Men and women are equal before God. All right. Male and female created he, them. Okay. Please understand that. All right. So there's a reset button. There is what it is at the beginning. And God says, restore. Let's take things back to what it was in the beginning. Let me borrow a statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 19. So Matthew chapter 19 from verse 3, right? The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every reason? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, I'm borrowing the word beginning, made them male and female, and said, verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Wherefore, all right, they are no more two, but one flesh. All right. Therefore, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's verse 6. Verse 7. Then they said to him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put the woman away? So verse 8 is where I'm stopping. And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. But from the beginning, that's what I'm borrowing from here. But from the beginning. So there is a reset button. All right. Certain things, all right, have switched. Many things have switched. Many things. There's been decadence from the ideal, from Genesis 1, Genesis 2, all right, before Genesis 3. And then there was the shutdown, the lockdown, as it were. All right. So Jesus comes to reverse it. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes, all right, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus comes with a reset. Jesus comes with something different. Jesus comes with something new. Let me show you John chapter 5 of John. Please understand this. John 5 and the 24th verse of John chapter 5. I especially, all right, particularly, right, like this verse. I love it, really. John 5 and 24 of John 5. Jesus says here, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. I want you to notice the movement. Passed from death to life. Please notice the reset. Passed from death to life. Did you get that? I'll take it one more time. Passed from death to life. Notice God said to Adam, the day you eat this, you will die. So the moment Adam ate it, death was introduced. And Romans 5:12 that we read earlier said that through one man, sin entered. Through sin, death entered. So nobody's afraid of anything. Listen, you are not afraid of a bullet. You are not afraid of COVID-19. You're not afraid of sickness, asthma, tuberculosis, HIV AIDS. You're not afraid. You know, like, is this guy serious? Yes, I am. You're right. You're not afraid of accidents. You're not afraid of flight, height. You're not afraid of anything. What you're afraid of is death. Please understand this. You fear nothing but death. So the fear is a fear of death. All right. And why are we fearing death? Because Adam opened the door to it. But you who are now a new creation in Christ, there is a reset button. Look at this John 5:24 again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed. So Adam took us from, we could just call it a state of life, all right, into death. Jesus has brought a restoration, taking us from death into life. Do you understand that? God did not create man and leave man in a state of death. No. Adam brought death in. Jesus has brought life. If you listening to me are born again, you have passed out of death into life. So all the things that we can list under death, sickness, disease, accidents, premature, all of those kind of stuff, all right? You've passed out of it. You've been delivered from it. You've been rescued from it. You've been taken away from the hold of death. Please understand this. You've been taken away from the hold of death. You have passed out. Remember in Genesis chapter 1 also? John 1 anyway, and Genesis 1, but particularly Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. Remember that? All right. And John 1 says, that was a true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Do you remember that? So isn't it interesting, therefore, to notice that Bible now says, first of all, in the book of Colossians and the first chapter, so we could pick it from the 12th verse, okay, that says, giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, where, guys, in light or in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us. You know the verse, don't you? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See the reset. Death to life. All right? From the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. How did we get under the power of darkness? Once again, Romans 5:12. Through Adam's sin, death spread upon all men. So through Adam's sin, the door was open and Satan and his henchmen had a free way, all right, to harass the lives of people. But Jesus said, no, anybody born again has now moved from death to life, has now moved, guys, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, their son, all right? And then Peter, all right, lands on it in First Peter, and then the second chapter and the ninth verse. But you are a chosen generation, not you will be, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, all right, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of, what is it? Darkness into light. So God said, let there be light. So there was light. But Adam plunged everybody from light into darkness. Jesus brought a reset, a restoration from darkness into light. I believe this is quite a blessing, like seriously a blessing. All right, there is a reset. There is a reset. Please get this. All right, let's travel back to the book of John. So in John chapter 3, you know it, but you need to read it. All right, John 3:16, you know it. But we're going to pick from John 3:15. Are you ready? So John 3:15 says, all right, 14 rather. Let's do 14. John 3:14. All right. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? 16 now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So that means Jesus, according to John 3:16, 15, 16, came that we may have everlasting life. But notice something here. 15 again. Well, 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you remember the story? All right. In the book of Numbers, they disobeyed God, mumbled, grumbled, everything they love to do. And then serpents, literal physical serpents, came out and bit them. Many died. And then Moses cried out to God, and God said to him, okay, create a brazen serpent. We've dealt with this some time back. Make a brazen serpent, a serpent out of bronze, all right? A brazen serpent. And then raise it up. Tell them to look. How do you look when snakes are all around you? But tell them to look. Whoever looks will live. And whoever even has been bitten by the serpent. Please understand this. That means the serpent, physical guys, serpent bites a person. All he or she has to do is look. That means there's so much power in the looking that will neutralize. Neutralize. Please get this. There's a lot of power in the looking that someone who is doomed to die as a result of the venom moved into the person by the devil, by the serpent, rather, all right? There's enough power in looking, focusing, basically obeying God to look, actually, at the brazen serpent. The power is not in the brazen serpent. The brazen serpent is a type and a shadow of Christ Jesus. So it's in acting on what God said, all right? So there's enough power in acting on what God says that will neutralize the venom of the enemy. Praise God. So no matter how horrible things are, no matter how tough things are, no matter how rough things are, Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifting up there, over his crucifixion, talks about his lifting up. Lifting up could eventually also mean his glorification. But, you know, when we speak later, further in John, lift Jesus higher, like we get a saying. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. What he was saying there is how he will die, all right? Bible says, was by that signifying the type of death he will die. So that's in John 12. Let me give you the particular reading so that you know where it is. All right. So in John chapter 12, all right, Jesus in the 31st verse said, now is the judgment of this world, and now the prince of this world will be cast out. 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. 33. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Do you get that now? This he said. See, so the lifting up he's referring to here is him being crucified. All right. He's being judged. All right. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men. So it's not if I be lifted up, like when you praise me, the context here is not praise. Now, the writer of the song might have meant, obviously meant praise, and then borrowed this verse, right, to explain it. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men. Right. But the lifting up here is he was signifying the type of death he will die. So in the John 3 there, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, brazen serpent, all right? The serpent represents sin, bronze represents judgment. So it's the judgment. So Jesus is on the cross judged, all right? Basically paying the price for humanity. So he's saying that if, all right, I am lifted up, all right, like the serpent is lifted up. Please notice, all right, verse 15 says, whoever believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, so we quickly, not like play on words, but allow me to say play with two words. Perish, life. Perish, life. Perish, life. So as long as you believe in Jesus, you are not permitted to perish. Whether your health, whether your finance, whether anything that concerns you, because perish is the effect of what Adam brought in, death. Okay, perish, death. You got that? Death, to die, to perish. So whether in its full state of death, or in its premature stages, sickness is premature death, all right? Something's dying in the person's system, an organ, health, immune system. Something is dying, all right? So when things die, all right, around, that's death. Death is at work. Perish. But he said, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. That means everlasting life is the opposite of perishing. When you have everlasting life, you shouldn't perish. If you do not have everlasting life, you will perish. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whoever believes in him again will not perish, but have everlasting life. You might say, well, perish them, I mean hell. Yes, but there's no need not just not going to hell. You also don't need to have hell on earth. Do you understand that? You don't need to have hell on earth. You don't have to suffer in sickness, suffer in pain, and suffer lack. No, the Lord is your shepherd. You will not lack. He, the Lord, makes you lie down in green pastures. He, the Lord, leads you beside the still waters. He, the Lord, restores your soul. He, the Lord, sets a table before you. He, the Lord, anoints your head with oil. He, the Lord. That is not someone perishing. Even when you're perishing, he restores, he revives your soul. So, child of God, there is a reset button. You've moved from darkness to light. You've moved from the power of Satan to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You've moved also from death to life. Please listen to this again. It will help you. Let me spend a little bit of time on that darkness, power of darkness now. There are satanic operations. Yeah, we can't deny them. Scripture talks about it. There are demonic cases too. Yes, we know. Now, the person who is your Lord has a right to run over you. Basically like colonialism, all right? The person, the government of whichever country or state you're submitted to or who is colonized, you can run things over you. So, if the devil was our Lord, then let's sit back and enjoy sickness and disease, guys. Let's sit back and tolerate it a little bit. Oh, that boil, oh, it's, you know, so people say, oh, what if sickness is the will of God? Acts chapter 10, 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy or the devil, for God was with him. All right. So Jesus was going about healing people oppressed. So Acts 10:38 shows that sickness is an oppression of the devil. So nobody should say sickness is the will of God. Like I said yesterday, insurance, you know, people will say, oh, it's an act of God. All right. Disasters are acts of God. No, we know it is not an act of God. So Satan should not suppress you. Satan should not take away your sleep, child of God. He shouldn't take away your sleep. Oh, but I find you've got sleep. Tell the devil, now I know you are the one trying to inflict me, but I'm not under your government. I'm not under your system. You are not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus cannot be my Lord and Satan is running Lord over me. No, you resist the devil. You tell him in the name of Jesus, I'm going to have a great sleep tonight. I will sleep well. In the name of Jesus, things work well for me because I have switched lordship. Then you make reference to Colossians 1:13. I have been delivered from the power of darkness and I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. I have. Come on, somebody. There's a restoration. Do you get this now? There's a movement. You have moved from death to life. Say it. I have moved from death to life. I have moved from death to life. I have moved. If you want to make this more descriptive, write down what death represents. Write down what life represents. You've moved. Why are we afraid? And then we act like the world. And we fear what they fear. We sound like them. No. No, we have moved. We are inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. You got to believe this. You got to stick to this. You have moved from death to life. You have moved from darkness to light. You have moved from the power of darkness to the kingdom of God's their son. You have. Yes, you have. There is a restoration. There's a reset button. In the kingdom of Jesus, it's a kingdom of prosperity. The kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of clarity. All right? So, I mean, under the curse of the law, Bible says they will grope in darkness. We're not cursed. We're in the kingdom of light. You know what that sounds like? Light is illumination, child of God. It means we'll see well. It means you'll know well. You won't keep stumbling from one wrong decision to another. Oh, you won't stumble from one wrong relationship to another. Put your foot down and say, no, I will not live like one in darkness. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk around in darkness, but he will have the light of life. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Refuse to stumble in the dark. Make up your mind. I refuse to stumble in the dark. Talk to that sickness. Talk to that disease. The doctors might have said, oh, they don't know what to do. Maybe you have some money and you feel, well, I could give it to them for a few treatments. It's okay. Go through the treatments if you have to or want to, but don't abandon faith. Put your foot down. Speak to your body. If you have to take like 30 minutes every day, 40 minutes every day, an hour every day, speak to your body. In the name of Jesus, I have life and not death. In the name of Jesus, I have life and not death. Say it to yourself. All right, remember that 1 John 5? Let's, you know, maybe use that again tonight. All right, but you remember John 5, 24, right? He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. So tell that sickness in your body, I have passed from death to life. I have passed from death to life. Speak to confusion. Tell confusion, I have passed from darkness into light. Do you understand this? Tell lack, I have passed from death into life. Tell pain and you maybe you feel they're demonic, fearful. No, I've passed from the kingdom of darkness. Satan, the way you terrorized me when I was yours, you can't do that now. I have a new Lord. So you can't cross from darkness into light. Have you seen that happen ever before? All right, that a place was bright and darkness moved in? No, you would have to block the source of light first. So the enemy attacks our point of revelation. That's your source of light. No, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? God is our light. I'm saying that flow of revelation, he wants to hinder it so that you walk in fear. No. All right? The devil has been uncovered. 1 John 5:11. And this is a testament that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He, verse 12, that has the Son, has life. He that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. Come on. You have life. Say that again and again to yourself. You've got the life of God. You've got the life of God. You have it. You have the life of God in you. You're strong in it. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. I will not perish. I will not suffer like a mere man. I'm not a mere man. I will not go through what Adam brought up. No. Come on. I've got the life of God. Jesus has set me free. Instead of death, I have life. Instead of darkness, I have light. Instead of being in the power of darkness or under the power of darkness, I'll be moved into a dispensation. The kingdom of his dear son is a kingdom of love and life and laughter. Oh, glory, glory, glory to Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom you're in. That's the kingdom I am in. A kingdom of life. A kingdom of light. Let this be your meditation through the weekend. Life. Light. Speak to cancer. Speak to asthma. Speak to leukemia. Speak to COVID-19. Speak to anything that wants to bring fear to you. I have life and not death. I have light and not darkness. Speak to wrong decisions. Speak to your brain that goes foggy. Fight the fight of faith. Glory to God. You might click Money Faith Boost, Daily Faith Boost. Now click it. Scroll down and you see a series we did on the gifts of God. It will help you. We taught a lot about the life of God. And then you see also the gift of eternal life. Just get blessed. Get blessed. Get blessed. Glory to God. And I will see you on Monday, 5 p.m. Nigerian time. Please hang out with me for the influence of the Spirit. And hey, blessings over the weekend, right? Bye.